Titus, the book of Titus. You can go ahead and turn there now. We're going to be there for a little bit. Not too long, but a little bit. Titus, and I want to remind you of this verse this morning. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read it while you're turning. Can you turn and listen at the same time? It says this, remind them. That's the Holy Spirit telling the Apostle Paul to tell Titus to remind us, believers. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. That's our calling. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit and follow His lead, remembering always the words He gave us in Scripture, to humble ourselves, to be dead to our desires, to be dead to the things we want, and to be obedient to the things You want, the things You need us to do, to spread Your love, Your mercy, the knowledge of Your salvation. Lord, we thank You for this word of Yours that You gave us through the Holy Spirit so we can know these things and be about them in our life, which You have called us to do. You called us to salvation, and You're calling us to service. You're calling us to spread the love and the joy and the kindness that You were demonstrating while You were here on earth. Lord, help us to win the battle, the hardest battle of all, that we would humble ourselves to Your will, to sacrifice ourselves, not literally to a physical death, but to our spiritual death, our mental death, that we put our wants and needs above Yours. Help us, Lord, to serve You in humbleness and to help lead others to the knowledge that You love them and You want them to be redeemed from their sin so they can be with You in eternity. Help us, Lord. We pray this in Your name, the powerful and loving name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You're in the book of Titus. You're in chapter 3. Titus is it's at the end of the list of T books in the New Testament, right? You have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and then 1st and 2nd Timothy starting with T, and then you have Titus. He only got one book though. The others got two, but he got one. His name is in there. So finally you come to the book of Titus. You're in chapter 3, and in chapter 3 here, Paul, the apostle, has been informing and guiding first century churches. You know he was a church planter, right? He was an evangelist and a church planter, and he's advising these churches and encouraging them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also has some trainees. That would be Titus and Timothy, and there's others that were ministering with him. And learning. What were they learning? Humbleness. They were learning humbleness. They were learning how to give themselves to serve the Lord. That's what Paul was all about. How many times did he almost die? How many times was he beaten? How many times did he run out of town for his service to the Lord?
Amen.
You know, it won't always be a picnic. You go out there and mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to get a reaction. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But in any case, we should still give the name of Jesus and the hope that it brings. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul had been informing and guiding them about who they are in Christ and the benefits of their relationship with Christ. Of course, the major benefit is salvation. We've been bought back from our sin. Jesus paid the price with His body and His blood, gave Himself for our salvation, and then rose again the third day to tell us, you can believe it. There is life in Jesus Christ, eternal life. We can believe that, and we can teach it. We can shout it out there. There's no law against it, is there? Oh, we're finding out nowadays, there's no law against free speech. As long as you're not threatening to kill somebody, you know, and do them harm. Other than that, you can talk, even if it sounds mean and nasty. You have a right to say it. I'm just praying and hoping that there's more people that would rather say positive things. Positive things to be encouraging to one another. You know, what's happening to our country is what happened to ancient Rome. When they took in all of those people that had a different culture than theirs, what happened? Their culture was lost. And eventually, their empire fell because they couldn't agree on things. That's where we're heading. We have the example. But it doesn't matter about the empire, does it? It only matters about you and all the others who need to know about Jesus. That's what matters. The government can come and go. It'll change. But Jesus will never change. His love for you will never change. His redemption of you will never change. Even when we turn our backs on Him as believers, He still loves us and takes us in and brings us home.
Amen.
What a glorious Savior. Amen? Well, I could preach about that for a long time. The Apostle Paul is teaching them here how the authority of the believer rests on the believer's mandate to serve the Lord. Oh, we're all about salvation, aren't we? We love that part. We're not going to a horrible place of punishment. We're going to a glorious place of refreshment and happiness with our Lord. Oh, that's great, right? But what about the rest of the time you're here on earth? What are we supposed to do? Just come here and sing songs and have dinners and have a good time. Oh, that's, I love that. It's enjoyable, isn't it? But there's more to it. They're serving the Lord. Please understand that the service spoken of here by Paul is not the mundane service of caring for the church, cleaning and pruning inside and out. Those weekly housekeeping chores are necessary, aren't they? We don't want to come into a house that's haphazard and sloppy. We want to come to a place we can enjoy. That's why we do those things. Amen?
Amen?
They have to be done week in and week out. But that's not what we're primarily called to. Paul is really speaking about the service of being an example to each other and to those out there.
Amen.
We're to be an example to them. Well, what kind of an example? The same example that Jesus gave. He wasn't about Himself. He was about everybody else. And everybody that was going to come after Him. Eternal life is what He was about. He cared about the lost, and He was out there preaching who He was and what He would do. He even did miracles to prove it. And He wants us to go and be the heralds of modern day. We are to be out there telling of Jesus, of His goodness, of His salvation, His gospel. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our main job. Now, every service I just mentioned about the church keeping it nice is necessary. Those things are necessary. Yet we must realize we are called to do the necessary along with the higher calling. The higher calling of proclaiming the gospel to the lost. That's what our mission is. That's the mission that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us. It's our mission. Encouraging the church to realize God's power is in us for spiritual service to each other and to influence the lost to be saved out there. That's what we're really about. And I don't want that message to ever be lost.
No.
We have a good time fellowshipping with one another. It's great. We love to get together. Nothing wrong with that. But we also need to get together and proclaim the Lord.
Amen.
Not just here, out there. We are the heralds. We are the town criers. We are the mouth of Jesus Christ here and now. That's what we're to be about. When we are in God's will, we can move with confidence. That's why we meet. We want to always remember we're in Christ and He's in us. And we have a job to do and He empowers us to do it, right? And we can move with confidence that that's what we're going to do and that it's right. And that the Holy Spirit's power is at work in us to help us accomplish that mission. Doesn't take the Holy Spirit's power to get up on Sunday morning, get ready and come to church. We can do that. But it takes His power to go out there and tell somebody you've never seen before about the love, mercy, and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because once you mention His name, you've drawn a line in the sand. And now you've got to justify who He is, what He did. And we have the ammunition right here. That's what that's for. To win people, to help win people. You're not going to win them. You're just going to give the message. The Holy Spirit's going to win them. But He's using you to give the message. Amen?
Amen.
That means we are working in God's authority, and that authority is both a call to boldness. You've got to be bold to think you can go out there and tell people about Jesus. You don't know how they're going to react. You've got to have some courage and boldness to do that. But it also takes meekness. It takes meekness. Jesus didn't use His powers to bash people into believing in Him. He was all about love and mercy and grace. He did miracles. He did healings to draw people to Him. He brought dead people back to life to draw people to Him. Love. Love. Love is the main reason we go out there and speak the name of Jesus. It's about His love, isn't it? Yes. Now, we're not meek because we're stepping back from giving the message, but meek by being respectful and loving. You try to talk to somebody about Jesus and they don't want to hear it? Okay. You spoke His name. The seed's been planted. Go on about your business. Pray for them. You may never see them again. You may never know what happened to them. But then again, you may run into them one day on the streets of glory. That could happen. In Titus chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy to teach believers to live doing what? Imitating Christ. Imitating Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to raise the dead. We're not going to lay hands on people and they're going to be miraculously healed. That's not what it's talking about. Imitating Jesus is bringing the love of God into the lives of people and telling them the gospel. Titus chapter 2. Timothy is to teach believers to live imitating Christ in the grace of God, denying themselves. Yes, we're called to sacrifice. Not sacrifice living sacrifices, our children or animals. No, we're not sacrificing those things. We're sacrificing our spiritual and mental wants and desires. And we're lining that up with Jesus and what He taught that we should be doing. That's what we're sacrificing. We're giving up our life to do the life of Christ. The life of giving God's redemption, or at least the possibility. How are they going to get saved if they don't know? That's the question. We're looking forward to His second coming. The grace of God, denying ourselves and looking forward to the second coming of Christ. And Paul directs Timothy to speak these things. Speak the Scriptures. Speak through the Holy Spirit. Let Him speak through you. Speak these things. Exhort. Exhort is not a bad word. It's not a harsh word. People take it that way, though. They think that, oh, if you're exhorting somebody, you're kind of getting tough with them. No. You're just giving them the cold, hard facts, the truth about Jesus. Isn't that what they need to know? You're exhorting them to come and find out about the love and mercy and grace of Jesus. You're exhorting them and rebuking them. Now that one gets a little tougher, doesn't it? But you can rebuke in love. You don't have to have a mean, nasty face and talk hard things and even throw some spicy language in there. You don't need to do that. Once again, you just give them the truth. Give them the truth. Jesus said this. The Holy Spirit said this. You know, this is what the Holy Spirit said. He wrote it. He had men write it for Him, I guess I should say. Exhort and rebuke. What allows you to do that? The authority of God Almighty. You've been saved by Jesus. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have the authority of God to stand on and give what? The truth. That's what they're looking for. They want the truth. Well, what's the truth? You're a dead sinner. You're on your way to an eternity of misery and doom. Would you like to be able to escape that? Would you like to be headed for an eternity of glory and love and mercy? Of course. But you got to say it fast. It's a busy world. They're on their way somewhere. They're doing something. They don't want to be bothered. That's why you have to work on it. What am I going to say? Work on it. Write some things down. Practice. There's nothing wrong with that. You're just preparing yourself for the battle. That's all that is. So get prepared. Get ready to exhort and rebuke because you have the authority to do it. And are people going to look at you funny and say mean things and despise you? Yes, some will. But the Scripture here, Paul tells Timothy, let no one despise you. You can't stop them. So what could that possibly mean? It means don't put that in your heart. Don't be afraid because others aren't going to like you because you speak the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. But don't take that in and keep focusing on that. Focus on the glory of the Lord and what He's doing through you. Amen. Paul reminds Timothy to remember the meekness to which believers, all believers, are called and must operate. We must show the love and kindness of Jesus. We can't browbeat people into loving the Lord. That's not going to work. We must operate in meekness, which believers are called and must do. Titus chapter 3. Go back to verse 1 and 2. Same chapter 3. It says this, remind them. Who's he reminding? Us, believers. We're going to go out and try to speak for the Lord. He's reminding us to be submissive. Don't be argumentative. When they want to argue, just peacefully, you can just excuse yourself. You don't have to argue. But if you're going to, give them the facts. Know the facts and give them the truth of Scripture, the facts of Scripture. They're not arguing with you then. They're arguing with God. They're arguing with Jesus. Give them the truth. That is your power, the power of your words. Be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. We're to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. What is a good work? How would you define that? I could say to you, this is what a good work is. But it'll have much more meaning if you define it for yourself. How would you, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, define a good work? Simply serving Christ. What are you going to be doing? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. What's He going to call you to do? I don't know. But He'll let you know. And you might say, well, I don't know if I can do that. And He'll say, I'll be with you. I'll help you do it. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? You can do it if you're obedient. Be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. No negativism. Yes, we know what they're like, but we're not going to dwell on that and call them out for it. Because what happens when you do that? Whew, the wall goes up and you're done. Don't do that. Be loving. Be caring. Be kind. All of those things. Avoid quarreling. To be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Everybody, perfect courtesy. Does that mean you have to accept them and do things? No, it doesn't mean that. Showing perfect courtesy can be as simple as showing courtesy and excusing yourself from their presence. Practice how to do that. Because there's going to be some times where the Holy Spirit's going to say, you need to leave. Well, how are you going to do that? Work on it. Get a strategy. Get an exit strategy, right? In other words, be the Christ-like ambassador you were called to be. We're called to this. It's really not optional. Salvation is optional. Service is not optional. And I'm not talking about cleaning the floors. I'm talking about testifying for Jesus.
Right.
You're an ambassador. Book of James chapter 3, verse 13. You can just make a note of it if you want. I'm going to tell you what it says. James 3:13 speaks of the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Do we ever think of it that way? Meekness of wisdom? Probably not very often. The Holy Spirit suggesting here the wisdom of imitating the mind of Christ. That's wisdom. Who else is worthy of imitation? Can you name anyone? Well, you might name some big-time preachers. There are some out there that you might want to imitate. But Christ is the model. The Holy Spirit suggests here the wisdom of imitating the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Well, what was that mind like? Love, kindness, goodness, sacrifice, all those things that would draw people to Him. Amen? The wisdom of imitating the mind of Christ. Scripture says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let that person show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. What's the meekness of wisdom? Wisdom. Do you remember what I said? I just said it. Did you capture it and store it? The meekness of wisdom is the mind of Christ. It's imitating the mind of Christ. Can you capsulize that? Can you capture it in one word? The mind of love. That's what Jesus was, the mind of love. He was sent from the Father. God is love, isn't He? All right then. Love was sent here in Jesus. So we should capture that mind and use it. Listen, the meekness of wisdom is the mind of Christ. He is our example. Even Paul, who was an apostle and had genuine authority over the church. He was a powerful person in Christ, but not because he wielded that authority to their detriment. No, he used it for good. But he didn't always exert his authority. Did you know that? In the book of Philemon, Paul wrote this, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. He had the authority. Yet, I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. The mind of Christ. Love. Why should you do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? Love. Love is the key. He's going to call you to do some hard things. And love will be the thing that will get you through. You'll have to experience that to know. Paul doesn't want submission by mandate, by order, but by the love that comes from Christ through the Holy Spirit. Love, love that leads us to build each other up is our ultimate authority. Did you ever build anybody up by getting on to them? Doesn't work. Doesn't work. I spoke of pedagogy this morning, the art of teaching. That's what pedagogy is. And teachers take classes on that, and they have continued training. You have to keep training at it. It's mandated by the education system. Every year you take more classes on it. You just take them there at your school, a visiting professor comes. The art of teaching, the art of motivating students to want to learn. You don't do that with harshness and mandate. You do that with encouragement and kindness and love. That's what we're to be doing with one another. To encourage each of us to show the love that will draw us closer to each other and to the Lord. Amen? Amen. God is love. Is He not? Of course He is. He gave His Son, and His Son was obedient, all on the basis of love. That's what we're to be about. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are love. That's what they promote. Their authority is revealed in their love for us. Hey, they could have folded up the tent a long time ago and left town. We weren't worthy. We're still not worthy. But God loves us. And so He stays to encourage us. Our highest authority, of course, is God. Believers have read in Scripture of God's work through individual members of the Godhead working for our salvation. Dispensations, the ages came up. You know, there's different ages mentioned in Scripture, right? There's the age of the Old Testament. Well, who was the main character from God in that age? It was the Father. The Father was in the forefront, calling and leading. But Christ and the Holy Spirit were there too. They were in supporting roles. They pop up every now and then, and we're told things that they did in the Old Testament to help the story of salvation move along. And then we have the Gospels. I'm not quite sure what to call that age. The age of the Gospels, the intermediate age. You know, it's between the Old and New Testament. But that was an age when Jesus came and was on earth. God sent His Son. Could call it the age of salvation because that's the plain message of that age, isn't it? Christ came to redeem us. And they never work alone. Did you know that? They never work alone. One's in the lead. Who's in the lead now in this age? No, it's not Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus has gone back to His throne. But He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, guides us, motivates us. He's the one in charge now. He's at the forefront of what we're to be doing. But are the others present? Do they communicate with the Holy Spirit? Of course they do. You can't really separate them. You know, sometimes God has to speak to us in a way that we understand because we don't have the mind to understand it if He said it in a way that He would say it to one of the other members of the Godhead. Their communication with each other is way different than how we communicate. We can't understand it. That's okay. You don't have to understand it. You just have to accept the benefits of the love of Almighty God. To me, Almighty God is all three of them working together. Do they do that? Of course they do. All the time. But one of them is out front, being the lead. They never work alone. Jesus even describes this interaction, and this is just one example. There's other verses. John 15:26. John 15:26. Jesus says this, "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit. Here's the Son of God saying the Holy Spirit is going to come. "But when the Helper comes, whom shall I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father." That's who He's going to send. And what will He do? He will testify of Me, Jesus. He leads us to Jesus. We could never accept the fact that we are the ones that made the decision. No, the Holy Spirit is continually working on our mind and our heart to say yes. Yes, doesn't this make sense? All the things He did, all the things God did, all the things that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has been doing down through the ages, doesn't it make sense that they love you? Won't you respond to that? Won't you respond in a positive way and say, yes, I trust Jesus for my eternal life? That's what you're doing. You're trusting Him for your eternal life. This life is going to end. And then eternal life is going to begin. Each person of the Godhead has been prominent in various dispensations with the other members in roles of support. They always work together. In the Old Testament, the Father was in the lead. Then while the Lord was on the earth, He was in the lead. And now the Holy Spirit is ministering to and through believers, and the Father and the Son continue to be available to all of us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sure it does. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You can pray to God the Father. That's acceptable. But when you pray to either one of them, what do? They send the Holy Spirit. They don't even have to send Him. He's already present. He hears the prayer. He knows what to do. What does He do? He comes and ministers to you according to what you're asking Him. Amen?
Amen.
The believer's life is one of total dependence on God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that? Total dependence on God? I'll just be honest with you. I have to practice. Because there's a lot of things I do and I don't say, Lord, how should I do this? Lord, help me do this. Lord, is this the way I should be doing this? I don't say that enough. I need to. Total dependence on God. Where do we get that idea? Who shows us that? Well, Jesus, of course. He's always our model. The Son of Man. That's what He referred to Himself in this part of Scripture. The Son of Man. He had a human body. What did that human body need to do? Depend on God. That's what we need to do. Depend on God. He said, he's modeling it by the Son of Man who said in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30. John 5, verse 30. This came up in Bible study this morning. I didn't say it. I wanted to say it. But I saved it for now. What does the Scripture say there? Jesus confessing, I can do nothing on my own. I can do nothing on my own. I need the support of the Father and the Holy Spirit. I can do nothing on my own. Shouldn't that be our confession? I can't do these things on my own. I can't testify to Jesus on my own. I don't have the courage. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the opportunity. Listen, He will give you all those things if you admit you can't do it on your own and you need Him. He'll help you. God has appointed lesser authorities in this world to rule under Him, such as parents, husbands, pastors, civil authorities like kings and presidents. They're all given by God for our goodness, right? God does everything for our goodness. That's the way He is. In His infant church, the Holy Spirit was sent to appoint and indwell apostles. They were called and indwelt by the Holy Spirit to be used for His goodness, as well as all believers. We are called. You are called. God is calling you. Jesus is calling you to come and serve Him. And if you answer the call, He will empower you to do it. His first call is to salvation. If you're going to work for me, you've got to have me in you, and you've got to be in me. So you've got to be saved, right? Okay, that's the first call. Is that the end of it? Well, that's what a lot of believers think. I got saved. That's the end of it. Now I can go on about my way. No, it's no longer your way. It's His way.
Amen.
That's where our mindset needs to be. We serve in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't serve in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't get the power of the Holy Spirit. We're on our own. Not okay. Not okay. If anyone speaks, They should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Yes, through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Thank you for adding that. It's right there in the Scripture. Amen. That's 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. We should be... You know what that's describing? What is that describing? It's describing walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. If anyone speaks, they should do so by walking in the Spirit, so they can say the very words of God. Because you're not going to say the very words of God if you're not walking in the Spirit. That's what it's talking about. Some people use the Great Commission. You know the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. That's how it starts. And some people use that to teach the authority of the believer. Not the authority of God, not the authority of Christ, the authority of the believer. Jesus, this is from Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Do you see anything about the believer in that statement? All authority has been given to me, Jesus Christ. Therefore, because I have the authority, I'm going to send you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is our job description. This is our job description. Go and make disciples. Wherever you go, go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Witness and call them to repentance. Explain what Jesus did for them. And when they say yes, baptize them. So we're to go and witness. And then we're to baptize those who respond appropriately. And teach them. There's the third part. Tell them, baptize them. Teach them to obey. Oh, that's the hardest part. Obey. One or two things. One or two commandments. The ones I can remember only. Everything. Obey everything I have commanded you. Well, what has He commanded you? Do you know? That's why we study the Scripture. So we'll know what we've been commanded to do and we will start doing it. The authority in the passage clearly belongs to Jesus. He claims all authority and then tells those who fall under His authority what to do. So there's no doubt. Here's what you're to do. Here's your marching orders. Go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them the commands in Scripture that I've given you. In the exercise of this authority, the believer is simply to do what? Obey. Comes down to one word, doesn't it? Obey. Obey the orders. Besides authority to share the gospel, the authority of the believer includes some rights. You have some rights as a believer. The right to be called a child of God. You have that right. I am God's child. He died for me. He created me and then He died for me. I'm God's child. And you have the authority to approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Well, when do you do that? When you pray. When you pray, you have that right to pray, and God will answer you. He said He would. In all things, we remember that Christ is the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:17 commands us to let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Don't take credit. Give the Lord credit. In Titus 2:15, Paul exhorted Titus to teach the Scriptures boldly, with authority. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Let no one put you down and say, you're a nobody, how can you say those things? No, I am a somebody. I'm a child of God. And He's given me the authority to tell you these things. And if you really want to have a great life after this miserable life we're living, you'll listen.
That's right.
But some people think they don't have a miserable life. They have a roof over their head, they have a car to drive, they have food to eat, they have money to spend. And what's so bad about this life? Compare it to glory. Then you'll get an idea, okay? What were the things to be declared? And we find those in verse 11 through 14. Let me just say this again. Declare these things. This is a command to you. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Well, what are the things? That's verse 15. So go back to verse 11 through 14. It tells you what you're going to do. Here's what it says. Declare these things. The grace of God. Well, what does that mean? Your salvation. Declare the salvation of God. Bringing the possibility of salvation to all men. Why not the assurance of salvation? Because they have a decision to make. God doesn't command them. He tells them, yes, you must be saved to get into my kingdom, but He doesn't make them do it. That's a decision they make. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's for everybody that names the name of Jesus. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. To live soberly. No addictions. That's what that means. No addictions. Doesn't matter what it is. Live soberly, addicted to nothing. Righteously, living to God, satisfying His claims on your life. And live godly. That means imitate Him. Imitate Him. To keep looking for what? The blessed hope of His return. He's coming back. And don't you want to be the one that He says, well done, you good and faithful servant. Don't you want that? That starts here and now. Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. The Holy Spirit is here exhorting us. Yes, believers, all believers are to be authoritative when we speak of the Lord's love, grace, and mercy, which continues to be available. It's available today. When's the last time you told somebody that? You know, God's love and mercy and salvation is available right now. He's calling you right now. Well, what do you mean He's calling me? I don't hear anything. No, He's calling you in here and in here. That's why I'm telling you about Jesus. Can you hear me? This is your call. Now I'm talking to you like I would talk to somebody that I'm out on the street with. This is your call. This is God calling you to know Him because He loves you and wants you to be in His kingdom. Do you ever practice stuff like that? What would I say to somebody? You can practice. It's okay. It's okay. It's not fake. You're not being fake. You're getting ready. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. You're getting ready for battle. It's up to you. You can do it. So when the time comes, you can be ready. 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Can you wrap your brain around this? When you're witnessing to somebody and trying to get them to know about Jesus, you're speaking the words of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, motivating you to speak to them. Be sensitive to what He's telling you to say. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. He gives us the strength. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Well, why Him? He's the one who suffered on the cross.
That's right.
He's the one who answered the call of the Father to go and give Himself. He's the one who deserves the honor and the glory.
Yes.
He's the one who suffered it. Amen?
Amen?
The authority of the believer comes from God and from God's Word. Here's your authority. Do you know it? It's your ammunition. Know it. The power of the believer comes from the Holy Spirit. Here's His Word. He gave it to you. As we are God's ambassadors, we're the link between this and that. We're the link. Don't be the missing link. Be the present link, okay? And we can speak with His authority as we share His Word, appealing to the world on behalf of Christ. Do you think Jesus wants people to be saved? Of course. We're making an appeal for Him, that they will hear the Holy Spirit speaking and respond by saying, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, therefore, because of these things in the Scripture, because of all those things, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're His representatives. That's what an ambassador is. I represent the kingdom of God. You ever think of yourself that way? Maybe it'll lift you up and you'll get more into His Word. I represent the kingdom of God. God making His appeal through us. You're the instrument. He's the director. We implore you on behalf of Christ. Who's imploring you? The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, John, all of them, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, God Almighty, myself, others who are serving the Lord, we are all appealing to you and imploring you to speak as an ambassador for Christ. We wield the sword of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. Here's the sword of the Holy Spirit. This is the sword of the Lord. It cuts deep and it cuts clean and it heals. It's the sword of the Lord. It's mightier than a surgeon's scalpel. It's the mighty Word of God, forged by God for us to use in serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our ammunition. Here's your orders. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands us to go into the world and speak His love, mercy, and grace. No arguments, no harshness, just smiles and peace. Smiles and peace and love. That's our marching orders. Let me say it again. Jesus commands us to go into the world and speak His love, mercy, and grace. No arguing, no harshness, just smiles and peace. Smiles and peace and His love. Are you willing? If you're willing, say amen.
Amen.
That's a commitment. You just made a commitment. Oh, I tricked you into that. So I won't hold you to it. I can't. Well, I won't hold you to it. But now you need to decide. Am I really going to do it? Am I going to commit to being the ambassador that God wants me to be? Ryan, could you come, please? It's your decision. Just like it was your decision to come to Christ for salvation, it's your decision now to be His ambassador. But I'm going to encourage you not to wait till you get on the battlefield. Make the commitment now. Make the decision now. I'm going to be the ambassador that speaks for Jesus. Make that decision now. Live the life. You don't know how exciting it can be to live the life until you do it. Then you'll find out. Will you have failures? Sometimes. But you'll learn from those failures. The Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you through that. And you'll become better at what you do. No one becomes better at what they do unless they try to do it. It's called practice. But unlike other practices, this practice will not be boring. You start going out there and talking about Jesus, it'll get exciting real quick.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's pray. Father, help us all, each one of us, to make the commitment to be You to others, to be Your mind speaking to others, to be Your Spirit drawing others. We want to imitate You. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it, Lord. And I know You want it. And I know You empower us through the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to make the commitment and do it. Help us to put feet on our prayers and action to our words. Help us in the name of Jesus. Amen.